I'm going to take you a little bit back this morning, because when I was in third grade, I experienced an event that I will never forget. One of my fellow classmates, Orlando, was picking on me, and he was really trying to instigate a fight. But instead, wisely that day, instead of going into the fight, I ratted him out to our teacher. And she was like, okay, no problem, Billy. Here's Orlando. You are going to the principal's office. And Billy, I want you to go with him and explain everything that happened. So she wrote the note, and as we moved down the hall, I just remember looking over at Orlando and the sense of dread on his face, and I was smiling, like all the way down to the principal's office, because I knew it was coming. However, when we finally got to the principal's office, everything went pear-shaped. I got in and I was trying to explain everything, but the principal just put his hand up like, don't speak. He read the note from the teacher and he said, all right, would you guys prefer to be suspended or paddled? I'm like, wait a minute. Time out. I'm not here. I am not the defendant. I am the victim and ergo a witness to the crime. And so, but I'm here just to explain what happened. He's like, listen, I don't have time for any of this nonsense. I repeat, would you like to be suspended or paddled today? Without a third option, I'd like to be paddled, sir. And so, and as barbaric as that sounds to some of you, yes, they did that back then, and we all lived through the experience. But nonetheless, in that case, I think I shouldn't have. But as that happened, I remember walking back to the classroom, although this time it was Orlando who had the smile on his face, as I was a little bit frustrated. But here's the thing. The thing that bothered me the most that day was not the paddling. It was the absolute refusal of the principal to listen to what I was trying to say, to really hear what was going on. I'm going to assume today that most of you do not have a story exactly like that, but I also would make the assumption that at some point in time, you can think of a time where you were simply not being heard. Maybe you weren't being heard by a friend, a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, an employer, an employee, a relative, a parent, a child, a neighbor, whatever the case is, I'm sure you can think of a time. And depending on the circumstances of this, it's not only frustrating, but it can also be incredibly painful, especially when it feels like nobody is hearing you or understanding what you're trying to say or what you're experiencing at that moment. Nobody likes not being heard. So today, I want to give you a simple reminder that God hears you, and that makes all the difference. So today, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to embark on a Christmas mini-series called Christmas Reminders. Now, in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, there's so much going on, and sometimes it's helpful just to remember some simple things about God that can help us in the complex times and busy times that we find ourselves in. So in Christmas Reminders, what we're going to do, instead of bouncing around to a bunch of different Christmas passages, and we've done that in other series, and that's great, we're going to spend time in just a few verses. We're going to spend 3 weeks in just a few verses. And in that time, we're going to try to look at some simple reminders that can be incredibly helpful for us, not only this Advent season, but all year long. So today, the simple reminder is that God hears you. And I hope today that no matter what you're going through, that you would leave here today knowing and being encouraged by the fact that somebody cares about you and hears you right now. So Matthew chapter 1, in the series, we're going to look at Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. But today, we're just going to look at three verses, Matthew 1, 18 through 20. So if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screens. It says, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Brent Allen did a great job last week giving the unofficial prequel to this series. We hadn't kind of planned it that way. But if you were there, and if you weren't there, actually, you probably should go back and listen to it. It was really good. He just really mined the genealogies that take place right before this text to give us some encouragement about the birth of Christ. And in that message, he also presented a bold statement with caveats about Jesus and that about Christmas, really. He said that Christmas... yes, its focus is Jesus, but Christmas is really about us. It's what God did for humanity. It's about his gift. Now, as is the case, as we consider God's incredible gift and his incredible work in our world through the Christmas season, as is the case with almost every event that we see in Scripture, God uses people in the process of accomplishing his divine redemptive work. And this includes the amazing birth of Jesus Christ, which was a fusion of the human and the divine. You see, it was the result, this baby was born, and she happened to be born through Mary, but it was not the result of a physical act between a man and the woman, but rather a spiritual act between the Holy Spirit of God and a young Jewish woman named Mary. Now, one of the things Brent also mentioned last week is that often in Protestant circles, which I think is many times a reaction to other emphases, we don't really give Mary the proper respect and reverence that she is due. And I think that we should. She's absolutely right. She's an amazing woman. God chose her, and she's a great testament to faith, and we should study. We should get into Luke 1, the Magnificat, and just really study Mary and what we can learn from her. But, you know, one of the people that also doesn't get a lot of attention is Joseph, the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus. And as we consider him, we're gonna focus in on a little bit in these few verses, Joseph, today. Because so often we'll read through and we'll kind of read past Joseph's thoughts, and we'll get right to the Immaculate Conception, the birth, and all these other amazing things that are wonderful. But I think the beauty of taking a passage like we're doing today and really spreading it over 3 weeks is that it gives us time to allow the passage to breathe and to get in and find out what is really being communicated to us. So let's talk about Joseph. Joseph, though his lineage had royal roots that traced all the way back to King David, he was far from someone who had power or privilege. He was a young Jewish man from a small, sort of insignificant town named Bethlehem. And the nation of Israel was at the time under the rule of Rome. So he and every other Jew was subject to Caesar. And he was not affiliated with any of the Jewish classes that might still have some form of power or at least some form of influence to power. He was a blue-collar guy. He was a carpenter. And we imagine he would have expected a simple life of hard work and very little upward mobility. But one of the things that he undoubtedly took great pleasure in was his young fiancée, Mary, the woman who would someday be his wife, his lover, the mother of his children. I mean, you got to imagine that as he was looking forward to this time, it was exciting. This woman that he would spend the rest of his life together. Now, today, it's incredible because we get to see the excitement. But back then, they didn't have photo shoots of engagements, right? They didn't have websites dedicated to it, which are awesome. But you've got to imagine, I want you to think that just as much as you're excited, Joseph was every bit as excited. I mean, here's the cool thing that I know. Some of you were recently engaged and have become married. Some of you have just become engaged, and some of you will be engaged soon, right? A word of prophecy. So some of you are claiming that this morning, right? Yes, Jesus, that's me. Look, I don't know, but know this, whatever excitement that you feel, whatever that you think of as you imagine, whether it's your past, your present, or your future, know that this is something that Joseph was experiencing too. And now consider what conversation must have really been like when Mary came to him and said, "Joseph, there's something I need to tell you. I'm pregnant, and God's the father." Really? Let's try for a moment to suspend all that we know about the birth of Jesus, the biblical narrative, and the benefit of having Scripture. What do you suppose your reaction would be if you were Joseph? First of all, you're going to assume that your fiancé has cheated on you. He knows it's not his because the text says that Mary was a virgin. So then you're going to assume that she's lying to you and blaming it on God. Like, we blame a lot of things on God, but Mary, this is something really low, right? No one has done this before. And you could only imagine that as Joseph is processing this, this is one of those moments that some of you have experienced in your world when the world comes crashing down on you. We've all had those moments when we face terrible, life-changing news that we could have never expected and we certainly couldn't have been prepared for. News that rocks our world, shakes us to the core, and leaves us in agony, maybe anger, in shock, and without really any simple solutions or easy fixes. And this is one of those moments. Again, imagine what's going on in Joseph's mind. I'm out here busting my butt for you, and you go and cheat on me and get yourself pregnant with some other dude. And listen, back then, to give you a little bit more context, sex prior to marriage was not nearly as common, was not nearly as accepted as it is today in our current culture, and that's evidenced by the laws that govern that time. You see, if Mary were to found out to have been unfaithful or to have engaged in something illicit before her time, then she could have faced serious consequences and punishment, or at the very least, been ostracized by the people she knew and loved. And so this was a serious thing. And verse 20 says this, while he thought about these things. And we don't know any more because we're not told what he thought about other than what we said, but we do get a little window into his thinking revealed by his decision of how he's going to respond to this in verse 19. He says, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. So we know his thoughts were not justice, vengeance, retaliation. You did this to me? Watch what I do to you. I'm going to make sure what's coming to you. That wasn't his heart. There was still some compassion for this woman that he once had bet his future on. And so he just decides that though there's still the pain of betrayal, that he's going to kind of just put her away quietly and just try to end the relationship and move on and see what happens from there. Now, we don't know all the thoughts of pain, confusion, frustration, and disappointment that he thought because Scripture doesn't tell us that and it doesn't record that he told anyone else. So in addition to this being really a painful place for Joseph, imagine this had to be a lonely place for Joseph. But the truth is, even in that moment, as he's contemplating all these things, he was never alone. God heard him. Even though we don't see any record of Joseph praying and crying out loud to God, God was there while he thought about these things. Think about it. God heard every thought that Joseph had, and he heard every emotion that Joseph felt. And you might think, well, Joseph is pretty important to the Christmas narrative, and so God didn't want to blow the whole deal, so he paid extra attention and listened in on Joseph. But the thing is, throughout Scripture, we see that this big, strong, mighty, powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God hears all of us. Today, God is interested in your story, too. He hears the pain. He hears the confusion. He hears the frustration, the uncertainty, whatever it is you're going through right now. He heard the things, and when we go to Joseph, consider this. He heard the things that were elevated to Joseph's conscious level, but he also heard the things that were buried deep within. To the detriment of my wife's sleep, I sometimes wake up screaming. You can imagine that's not a pleasant experience for her. And especially comes under seasons of stress. And here's the worst thing. I'm just being honest with you, right? Like in the spirit of transparency, sometimes I wake up screaming profanity. Like things I don't say during the day. I guess because I feel like I can get it out at night when I'm sleeping. I don't know. But sometimes I'll wake up. And then sometimes it's incoherent. Like you can't make out apparently what I'm saying. I mean, it could be like, I'm only here as a witness. Please don't paddle me. I don't know what it is that's coming out. And some of you are thinking like, man, that's really messed up. You should get yourself checked out. And I hear you and I agree with you, but know this. Besides my wife hearing me, you know who else hears me? God hears me and God knows why I scream. And know this. God knows why your soul screams as well. Whether you wear your emotions on your sleeve, whether you hide it behind a cool veneer, or whether you bury it so deep down that you don't even understand everything that's going on in your world, God hears you. It's not only what he does, it's part of who he is. Listen, there are a lot of names inside the Bible that are recorded that give us a sense and a better understanding of who God is. And one of the names that is there that I don't often hear is El Shammah. It means God who hears me. And it's found in Psalm 17:6. Let's read that. King David is writing the psalm. He says, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. David is praying for God to hear and sensing and trusting that he will, that he does. Think about this. God, the supreme king, inclines his ears both to hear the things that we say and the things that we feel and the things that we don't even know how to express to ourselves. Now, next week, we're going to get into the healing power of Jesus and how awesome that is as the things we're wrestling with, how God works in our lives and brings us healing. But today, we're going to stay focused on the fact that God hears us and how there's hope even in that. You see, God heard the inner agony of Joseph, and he hears the inner agony that's going on inside of us too. Now, how can we be certain that God heard Joseph? Because the text doesn't say, oh, God heard Joseph. Well, we know this. Number one, he's El Shammah. He is the God who hears us. But also, number two, God responds by sending a messenger to Joseph. You don't respond to something that you haven't first heard and identified. So he sends this angel, this messenger to Joseph, and he says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God brings comfort and peace to the chaos and pain in Joseph's mind. And he does that through divine revelation. He brings him in on what God is doing. And next week, again, we're going to get into more of the redemptive plan, the revelation of what God is doing. But for now, it's encouraging to know that God hears us. And some of the ways that he sometimes responds to us is not always by changing our circumstances, which tends to usually be our prayers. But sometimes his response is by giving us divine insight into him and the way that he's working in our worlds right now. Now, sometimes this revelation is brand new to us. It's something we've never heard before. And sometimes you may read the Bible or hear a message or somehow come across a biblical truth. And you're like, wow, I didn't know that before. That's really cool. Or sometimes, many times, we come across something and we've heard that before. But we need to be reminded of that right now. You know, so many times we need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed. And so this simple revelation hits us, and it's so powerful sometimes. Sometimes it's the simple reminders that we have to apply right now. And so for Joseph, this news changes everything. I mean, the message and the messenger must have been convincing because he listened to what he said. God answered his concerns. He addressed his fears, and he showed him the path to move forward. And I'm sure that that's exactly what some of you would like for God to do for you right now. Address your fears, answer your concerns, and show you the path to move forward. Well, let me remind you that as comforting as it is to know that God hears us, it's also important to make sure that we are listening to God too. I mean, what would have happened to Joseph if this divine revelation came and he simply wouldn't make the space to hear it? Sadly, and ironically, that's one of the things that we often find in this Christmas season, is that we're so busy celebrating in Jesus' name that we often forget Jesus. Now, I remember talking to a man a few years ago, and we were talking about, he's saying he's loving this Christmas season, because I asked him, I knew him and his wife were going through some really hard times. He says, man, I am loving it. And he was talking about how much he loved the Christmas season because due to all the parties, due to all the gifts, due to all just the busy times, they were doing wonderful. But he said to me, I'm actually really upset when I stop to think about the season coming to an end, because I know that come January, all this stuff is going to be there. And he said, look, I fear that we may not make it past that. And so I say that to say, don't let Christmas this season be a distracting escape from reality, but let's let it be a redirection into God's reality. This means, of course, we can enjoy the fun and festivities of Christmas, but let's not let that be so prevalent that we fail to unpack and remember some of these Christmas reminders. So I think that as we consider today the simple but profound fact that God hears us, that there are two major responses beyond the one that's simply being comforted by the fact that God hears us. And the first response is that we need to talk to God. Remember what David said? I'm calling on you because I know you will incline your ear to me. You are El Shammah. You are the God who hears me. So listen, remember, God invites us into a relationship, not a religion. And a key factor, the key factor in any relationship is communication. So the question to consider is, are you really talking to God? You know, we call that prayer. A prayer really is all about pouring ourselves out before God and standing before Him nakedly, because God knows us better than anybody knows us, including ourselves. And so prayer is all about celebrating who God is and thinking about and declaring to Him our love, our affection, our devotion. It's admitting our sins, our failures, where we've gone wrong. It's humbly asking God for the grace to do better, and it's asking for God's intervention in our lives and the lives of others as we go through so many different things in so many different seasons. And sometimes prayer is, even if you don't know what to say, just getting before God and just like growl, groan, whatever, pour it out and say, God, you know, right? Because sometimes we're such a mess that that's all maybe we can muster up, but whatever it is, it's talking to Him and giving Him the attention and giving Him your voice and asking and trusting and believing that He'll hear. And yes, like Joseph, God hears us even when we're not talking to Him and praying, but like David, sometimes it's so much better to just take things directly to Him, because as we pray and bring these things to God, it is a declaration of trust as we bring our concerns to Him. And rather than just telling everybody about all our issues and problems, and listen, there's a time and there's a place for that, it is important that we bring our concerns to the one who made us, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, and the one who secured our future, the God who brings us comfort, the God who hears us. So talking to God is one major response to hearing, to the fact that God hears us. The second is we need to hear God. Just like He hears us, we need to hear Him. You see, God is constantly trying to pour out His divine revelation and change our circumstances in some cases, but often our perspectives in many cases, sometimes both. But listen, listening to God changed everything for Joseph. I mean, he got the revelation that in fact this was a spiritual work in Mary. She was telling the truth, and that, listen, the thing isn't off, it's on. And not only that, not only was his relationship going to go forward, but his life, their lives, would forever be intertwined with the Messiah, with the redemptive plan for humanity. And the interesting news that he would be the stepfather of Jesus. Listening to God not only changed everything for Joseph, it changes everything for us too. Because we get the revelation that our lives are forever intertwined with this Savior King born for the redemption of humanity. Now, God may not send an angel to us as he did with Joseph, but we have something better. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, who Scripture tells us comforts us, rebukes us, instructs us. So the question is, are we taking time to listen to revelation? Have we considered that not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but when it comes to hearing God, we have the Holy Scriptures. God's words of life, his redemptive plan in all of our acts, past, present, and future, his word helps us to understand and interpret all of these things. I mean, as you look at the pages of the Scripture, they are filled with explanation of who God is and what this means for us. The pages of Scripture are filled with promises that we can remember and promises we can cling to. The pages of Scripture are filled with the precepts of God, with the best possible way to live with the least amount of regret in this life. The pages of Scripture are filled with hope and the reminders of God's grace when we fail to live up to all that we're called to. But the question is, are we listening? I love it. Yesterday, I looked at my wife's Bible, and I saw a sticky note that she put on it. Open me. Do not cut off God's primary way of communicating with you. I love that. It's like, oh yeah, a great reminder. For some of you, maybe that's something you need to do. Just put that sticky reminder. Open up, because God is wanting to speak to you, and God is wanting to speak to me. Listen, there are so many bad voices, dare I say, satanic voices, whispering in our ears through the entertainment we take in, through our Twitter feeds, through even the people we love sometimes that just kind of whisper, and we incline our ears to certain things, often to our own detriment. But are you hearing God? Are you taking the time to talk to God and taking the time to hear him in the busyness and the chaos of our lives, especially during this chaotic season, which can, again, so often distract us? We have to be intentional. We have to make room in our calendars. And sometimes that, you know, with our kids, maybe our Advent calendars, whatever it is, take time to talk to God in prayer, in our thoughts, in our journaling, whatever it is. And we also need to take the time and be intentional about listening and hearing God through prayer, through quiet reflection, through church, through an experience like this. So this Christmas, be reminded that God hears us. He hears the struggles, the pain, the inequity in our nation and in our world. And this Christmas, be reminded that God hears you personally. He knows your fears, your pains, your uncertainties, your anxieties. He hears us all. In fact, that is why Jesus was born into this world, because God heard our cries, and Jesus was the most perfect, gracious answer that God could ever give. You see, in life right now, your mind may be busy crafting a narrative to make sense of everything going on in and around you, but maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit right now is crafting a different narrative that you need to take time to listen and lean into at this moment. So let's take the time this Christmas to talk to God, to bring all our concerns to him, and to hear him, trusting that just like Joseph, his divine revelation is exactly what we need this Christmas season. Let's pray. God, we come before you with great gratitude. We thank you. That is, we talk. These aren't rote things that we do, but you actually hear our words. You consider, you incline your ears to us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters and you today that we would, in fact, incline our ears towards you, that we would talk to you, that we would make time, that we would carve it out, that we would put you as a priority, that we would take time to take in your word, be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, and really filter out some of the voices that we shouldn't be hearing and tune in to you and the voice from you. But God, regardless of whatever's going on in our lives, we thank you that though nobody else may understand us right now, maybe it feels like nobody else is hearing us, we thank you that you do. And that you care about us enough. You are El Shammah, the God who hears us. And we love you and praise you for so many things, but that's one of them today. Listen, if you're here today, you've never begun a relationship with God, it really is a relationship. And we recognize that we, you know, if you consider a good, big, perfect God and us faulty, failed people, there is a gap between us. There's this thing called sin that's missing the mark of God's perfect standards. And Scripture teaches that that separates us from God. And Jesus was sent to give us forgiveness of our sins so that not only would our consciences be cleansed of guilt and shame, but the sin would be removed and it would be replaced with the righteousness of Jesus, because the birth of Jesus clearly is the end of the story. He grew, he died, he rose again. And that was God's gift to you, God's gift to me. But like any gift, it has to be received, it has to be opened. And if you've never begun that relationship, God's giving his divine revelation of salvation to you today. And what it means to respond is that you are giving your allegiance, giving your devotion, making God, making Jesus the primary thing in your life, and releasing all the things that would separate and hold you back from him. It's allowing God to redirect your life, to turn from a life of sin and turn to life inside the dominion of God's kingdom. And if you want to do that today, you can begin by a simple prayer. And I want to offer that to you right now. It is a heart response that is needed. So it's not just words, but it's you devoting yourself and responding to God. And if you want to do that right now, I'm going to ask the rest of the church to join me in just a heart of prayer. And if that's you, in your heart, you can just say these words to God and he'll hear you today. Just say, "Dear God, I thank you that you hear me even now. And you know me, so you know all my sins. I ask you'd forgive me of them, that you'd help me to turn from them, that you would no longer help them to define me. From this day forward, may I begin to be defined by Jesus, his love, his death, his resurrection, his grace, and how my identity is now rooted in you. Take my life, even as you gave your life for me. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen." Now, if you prayed that prayer today, or if you didn't, but you have some questions about what it means to be a Christian, please come down right after service concludes to the New to Jesus section. We'd love to give you a Bible, and there's going to be men and women that would love to encourage you and answer any questions you may have. If you came today burdened and you just want to talk to God and pray, come over to the Need Prayer section. There'll be people waiting to pray with you. And today, just as we end, may you take comfort in knowing that God, El Shammah, hears you. And may you take the time to listen to him and talk to him. God bless you.